Kids, I guess you can go. You don't have to sit here and listen to me today. I got him running. Hey, good morning. You know, much like Matt's week started, mine wasn't nearly, because it was cold. That drive up to Sandusky was freezing in that truck. But he says, cool. I'd have been like, hey, I'm not coming to work. Give me another truck. But my week started similarly. I was actually off Monday, and I was off with Shelby was off, and Morgan's not back in school yet, so she was off. But there was one person missing. Mom had to go back to work this week. And she was careful not to wake me when she was getting ready, because, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning is pretty early. But then I get this phone call at 10 after 7. She wasn't panicked, but she said, you need to come up here and look at the truck. And I was like, what is going on? So on her first day back, before she even gets into the building, she hits a deer. And I was like, part of me wanted to say, just turn around and come home. Just turn around and come home. So I said, okay, can you drive it? She said, yeah, I drove it on to school. Just come look at it. I said, okay. So she said, the deer's in the middle of the road. So I don't know. I let a couple hours go by, and I went up, drove up the road, and looking for a deer, looking for a big blood splatter or whatever, because if she hit it and then ran it over, so obviously it was dead. And I look, somebody had come and drug it off the side of the road. And this thing was about as big as a small dog. And I thought, you know, God is watching us today. And I got to share another story. Morgan, 2 weeks ago, last week, she was going to work. And she starts at 6 a.m. in the morning at the nursing home. And so she leaves at 5:15 from the house or whatever. I don't know, maybe she's still, what time you start? 6 or 7? 6. So she calls her mom in a panic at, I don't know, 20 after 5. I'm like, oh, why does this stuff always happen early in the morning, you know? So I stumble out of bed, start putting clothes on, and then I hear her mom say, can you drive the car? And Morgan said, I don't know, it's still running. Okay. So Chris says, where are you? And she says, I'm up on 46. Chris goes, where am I on 46? Almost to 288. So I'm in the bathroom. I hear this. I'm like, why is she driving 246 all the way to 288 to go to Galleon to the nursing home over on 61? Why? So I get dressed, I drive up to the nursing home to check the car, no damage. What happened was, it was windy that morning, there was ice on the trees, a tree flew over. Morgan said it hit her car. I imagine Morgan ran the tree limb over. Morgan said it was a tree that landed on her car. I was guessing, you know, a tree. But from the looks of the car, I imagine it was a tree branch that fell down in the road and Morgan ran it over. Okay? So, I said, man, I don't see any damage. I have my khaki pants and my good jacket on to go to work, and I'm down on my hands and knees. The pavement's wet because it's raining, and I said, I don't see anything. I'm not a mechanic by any stretch, but I didn't see anything. So I checked her tires. I said, yeah, the tires look good. So I shoot her a text. Hey, I know you won't get this right away, but car looks okay. Let me know if you come out and you got flat tires when you get out of work. So she comes home, and she comes up, and I said, well, it looked okay. Everything looked okay. I looked at all your tires. Everything looked good. She said, yeah, but she said, I think I have a problem. I said, okay, what's that? She said, well, my blinker, I need blinker fluid. And I said, wait a minute, what'd you say? And I wanted to get my recorder out. And she said it again. She said, Dad, I think I'm low on blinker fluid. When I hit my blinker, it just flashed real quick. I said, okay, yeah, you might be. Why don't you get Shelby and have her? I said, Shelby, come here. And I pick on Shelby a lot. But, man, I couldn't let this one go without having Shelby come up because I thought maybe Shelby needed blinker fluid too. So Shelby comes up, and I said, Morgan, tell Shelby what you need. And Morgan, just as serious can be, because I didn't let on that there's no such thing as blinker fluid yet. She said, Shelby, I need blinker fluid in my car. Do you have it? And Shelby just loses it. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, as we go through life, and I'm going to talk to you today about shepherds. Because what I wanted to do was, as we move from Christmas and we transition, we know Easter's coming, I think it's important that we understand what Jesus' life was like. So I'm going to, for the next however many times I preach, I'm going to use certain portions of Jesus' life. And I had one all laid out. It was Jesus in the temple when he was 12. You know, there's a couple times we know Jesus' age for sure. This was one of them. It said he was 12. And today we're going to talk about another time. We'll get to it. But it said he is 30 at this time. We don't really get an age for Jesus the rest of the time. But we're going to progress through his life. So today, Julie texted me Friday and said, hey, you got anything from Bulletin? I said, no, because I was going to Jesus in the temple courts. And I thought, Matt, God laid that on your heart. Why aren't you sharing that? Why aren't you going to... I don't know why God works the way God works. Okay? Today is Lindsay's birthday. She is 23. She is at guard duty this weekend. Tuesday, Wednesday, Chris started in, what do you want for your birthday dinner? You know, that's a big deal in our house. Chris makes them whatever they want. And she said, actually, can you guys just come to Ashland? And we're going to see if Skylar's mom and dad want to come to Ashland, and we'll go out for supper. And we didn't want to go. Okay? You know, I'm kind of, when I get home from work, man, unless it's a ball game, I'm pretty content to stay home. Plus, man, feeding these guys. They're not on Happy Meals anymore, right? So, but we went, and I'm going to tell you, has anybody ever met their, I don't even know what it's called, but there's a person in the universe that is almost exactly like you? Is that doppelganger? Is that what that's called? Morgan's shaking her head, yes, but I don't know if you can listen to her because she believes in blinker fluid. But last night we got to Lindsay's house, and somehow Nate and Shelby and Morgan had already beat us there, and not somehow, I know how. Matt drives 55. Shelby. Or Nate, whoever was driving, I'm not sure. It might have been Morgan because she drives 82. Anyway, they were all there, and Skylar, I'm glad you came because Skylar said, I'll be at church tomorrow because I'm not going to miss you talking about blinker fluid. Well, this message came to me last night when I met Skylar's parents last night. Lindsay and Skylar have been dating for a year. We have never met Curtis and Heidi before. I'm pretty sure Curtis is my altar guy. He's my alter ego, right? Introductions are so weird. And I could tell you stories about that. But last night, Curtis and Heidi came in the back door. And I think Skylar was nervous. I don't know why, but he was. And I was when I introduced my parents to Chris's parents, even though they knew him before. But, you know, everybody was just kind of sitting and whatever. And I thought, man, this is kind of weird. So I got up. And pretty soon, Curtis come around the corner, and he shook my hand, and then he went and shook everybody's hand. And as then Curtis and I just stood in the entryway to the house, and we talked. And I said, okay, God, you're showing me something here. And Curtis started talking, and the amount of pride he had in his son, I knew this guy was good, right? As a shepherd, all we can do is see them through and keep them out of situations, but then eventually we gotta let them go. And last night for me, that was my moment. I knew that I had to let Lindsay go. I knew that this dude is the guy for her. They're like an old married couple, and that's pretty cool. But his dad thinks along the same lines as I did, just the amount of pride he had in what a fine young man he has become. And that's a testament to you. That's a testament to Lindsay. That's a testament to your mom and dad. That's a testament to Chris and I. And it's a testament to this church, because being a shepherd is not a one-person job. It takes a village. It takes a community. And we're doing something right. And I'm proud of all three of my girls, but I'll just focus on Lindsay at this point. She's a pretty good girl. We're going to talk about the good shepherd and his sheep today. And I want to give you a definition of shepherd. And I looked it up, and gosh, I walked away from that saying, what is a shepherd? Here's the definition for a shepherd. A person who tends and rears sheep. And I said, okay, what's that? And it gives a herdsman. So I thought, okay, I'll cross that one. I'll see what that one is. The herdsman is the owner or keeper of a herd of domesticated animals. So again, that doesn't really do shepherd justice for what he does. Shepherd, a verb, it tends to sheep as a shepherd. Although the sheep are shepherded, they're generally only counted when we bring them in. So think about that. Shepherds of my size and scale and Shelby's size and scale, we know how many sheep we have. Shepherds in Jesus' day, they really know how many sheep they had? Because they're out wandering around. Right? They're out in the open pasture, in the open field. So shepherding, when you get that count, how many sheep you have, that's pretty cool. That's like the end result. And you know what job you've done shepherding your flock. So, and people in the past, I know when I talk about shepherding and I talk about sheep, I've used the comparison that we are the sheep, and people kind of got upset that I call people sheep, because I sit up here and talk about sheep being not real smart. They can't do anything for themselves. But guys, we are God's sheep. He is our shepherd. And He's going to watch over us, and He's going to, when we all go home at the end of time, He's going to know how many sheep He actually had. He already knows. But we're going to know how many sheep God has. And that's pretty cool. I want to go real quick. This is not going to be the main passage. I didn't tell Alan about this one. But it talks about shepherding. Psalm 23. And it gives a... I should have used this as a definition for shepherd. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you get mad at me for calling you a sheep, read that passage. Because he is our shepherd and we are his sheep and he's taking care of everything for us. I'm going to go into our main passage now in John 10. And I have a newfound... I'm going to tell you some good things about sheep now. Because let me tell you, Shelby's got some smart sheep. We have some fair pens that we use as lambing pens. And when we put these lambs in there, these ewes in there, we usually don't do it till a couple days before they lamb. Because, you know, they're showing signs of lambing, so we put them in there, put a heat lamp on them. It's all good. We've got two ewes in there. They've been in there for 2 weeks. They're not having lambs. They show all the signs of having lambs 2 weeks ago. And Shelby has her cameras. I've told you about them. I'm pretty sure those two sheep are just laying there during the day saying, yeah, Matt, look at me. I'm in here. I got a heat lamp. I got dry straw. I don't think I'm going to ever have these lambs. The rest of them are out shivering. These two are just kicked back like they're on vacation. Those sheep are smart. But here's the other thing. Some of our younger ewes that aren't pregnant have figured out a way to unlock the gate and get into the pen. Don't be offended when I call you sheep. Jesus is our shepherd. He's taking care of it. But sheep are not always dumb. Okay? The Good Shepherd and the Sheep. Chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, I'm going to tell you something about sheep right now. Because I had my surgery, I couldn't go to the barn. And I'm still working my way slowly into that, and it aggravates Shelby. But I did that for two reasons. Because I can go to the barn, and these sheep will recognize me as a shepherd. Or I cannot go to the barn, and these sheep are going to recognize Shelby as a shepherd. Okay? So I know at 10:30 at night when she gets home from volleyball practice, she's out there saying, yeah, I'm your shepherd. My dad's lazy and won't come out here and help me. I do go help her now because I feel bad about it. But I think it's important that the sheep know her voice. So that they, because when I go in now and try to catch sheep, forget it, I can't catch them. Shelby can catch them. Because they know her voice. They know her voice. We know our Father's voice. We hear it. We read it. Verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And if you ever need to know whether that's true or not, I challenge you, come down to my place in the summer and have Shelby just walk out in the field. The sheep follow her. Now, they follow Chris, too, because Chris usually takes pumpkins or leftovers or whatever and puts on the compost pile. Those sheep love that. But these sheep literally will, if I'm walking out to the compost pile, you look behind, there's 20 sheep following. They're not close enough where you can catch them, but they're following. Guys, do we follow our God all the days of our lives like that? I hope we do. I don't all the time, I'll be honest. There's days I struggle. But then I hear his voice and I go back to him. So the shepherd's leading his sheep. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this as a figure, used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. You guys, you understand, this is Jesus. He's a carpenter. He's 30 years old. And he's telling these old dudes in all the robes and whatever. They don't get it. It's not the first time Jesus has stumped them. When he was 12, he stumped them. Not like Morgan stumped me about the blinker fluid. Jesus stumped them by talking and telling them a story that they could not understand because they didn't understand the full meaning of being a shepherd. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest." There are other influences in our life. Sports, entertainment, money. Guys, if we're following that, we're not going to live life to the fullest. And those things will come in and steal, kill, and destroy. How many times have we seen money destroy somebody? How many times have you seen Jesus destroy somebody? Doesn't happen. We may think he's destroying us by making me do this. Or, guys, it's a free choice. You can follow him or you cannot follow him. If you follow him, he will not lead you to destruction. He will lead you to eternal life and salvation. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Guys, you ever think about, you ever try to put yourself in Jesus' place when he was beaten, made fun of, led through town, so exhausted, so beaten, so bloody, he couldn't even carry the cross? But you know what? He did anyway. Do you ever think about how much pain he endured for me and for you? He laid down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. Why is that an important sentence? Because listen, I am now the hired hand. Okay? / shepherd. I'm the assistant shepherd. But guys, when Jesus, you know, we know Jesus called his disciples. One by one, he took them, plucked them, hand-plucked them right out of job. Why Couldn't one of those disciples have paid the price? Because they weren't the shepherd. Now we know many of them ended up paying the price for Jesus, but they didn't pay the price for you and me. So when the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and really cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, if you don't like being called a sheep, I question why. Because Jesus' words. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And if you're just reading that and you're thinking nothing but about sheep, guys, this is God telling us about salvation. This is God saying, you're all my sheep. I don't care what end of the pasture you came from or what end of the world you came from. You are all my sheep. And I will lay down my life for my sheep. He's not saying just the perfect ones. He's not saying just the ones that get up in front on Sundays and talk. He's saying, I will lay down my life for the sheep. The weakest of sheep, the strongest of sheep, the ugliest of sheep, the most perfect sheep. All my sheep. Doesn't matter what pen you come from. Verse 17. The reason my Father loves me, is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. And I don't want to gloss over verse 17 because it is of ultimate importance. Because here Jesus is telling these Pharisees, I'm going to lay down my life for these sheep. But guess what? I'm going to take my life up again. I'm going to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Guys, I want you to understand, this isn't even Jesus' plan. This is God's plan that he gave Jesus. Jesus, I want you to go down and talk about some sheep. I want you to go down and be my shepherd. And when you lay down your life, I want you to take your life back again, and I want you to live forever with me. This command I have received from my Father. The Jews that heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. These are guys at the temple. Why should we listen to him? But others said, these are not sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? I would have loved to have been around when Jesus was coming through my town. Talking about sheep. And as he's walking down through the town, healing people who dare to reach out and touch his robe. And say, by your faith you are healed. How cool would that be? Can you imagine going to Mount Gilead, following a dude through town, and just having a crowd of people follow him? And here's how I can envision this. We all know Mount Gilead track cross-country team. They're very, very good. In fact, they're probably one of the better ones in the state. Well, every time they make a state meet, what does the community do? The community goes and stands on the victory shaft in Mount Gilead at the square at 5:30 or 6 in the morning when these teams are leaving to go to state, and they show them their support. And that's what I envision Jesus walking through town with all these crazed people waving their hands and yelling and screaming and praising God. But he feels one person tug his robe. Our God, our shepherd, is all-encompassing. He sees it all. He feels it all. He knows it all. He does it all. There's nothing our God won't do for us. But we come to church on Sunday and then we leave and we struggle. It's the same God out there that's here on Sunday morning. It's the same God 22,000 years ago that said, you know what, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep, but I'm going to take it up again. That's the same God we serve today. But it's hard for us to get out of our shell because of all the other crap in our lives. And I'm going to tell you, my eyes got opened up last night. Because all I saw was a shepherd who was ultimately so proud of his son, and another shepherd who had three daughters there that he is just overfilled with joy. That's how Jesus thinks of us all the time. All the time. Even when we're being bozos. You know what? He still looks down on me on the cross when I'm being disobedient. He says, you know what, Matt? I love you anyway, and I'm still your shepherd, and I lay down my life for you, and my blood covers you. Are you kidding me?
So then there was just a bunch of other, and I love how Jesus, it's almost like Jesus throwing jabs at the Pharisees because he knew they weren't going to understand. He knew it. He knew they were going to sell him down the river and crucify him. But that was part of his plan, or God's plan, so that Jesus could take his life back again. And I could go on forever about that. Listen, that's going to come in a few months. So if you aren't a regular attender here, I challenge you, keep coming. Because you're going to hear, we heard the birth story a couple weeks ago. I touched briefly on when he was 12 and he stumped these Pharisees and he was teaching at the synagogue at that point. He was 12 years old. Anybody got a 12-year-old? Who's 12? How old's Brenna? She's close, right? She's 11. So Brenna, sitting up here at the synagogue, and she's telling these religious leaders all about life. Right? And these religious leaders are like, what is going on? And in comes crazy Mary and crazy Joseph because they can't find their son. Because for 3 days they traveled away from the city they were in. And I love Jesus, and man, I really didn't want to go there, but I'm going to. Jesus tells his mother at that point, in chapter 3, no, it's not.
Anyway, here it's back in Luke. I'm gonna go there because I want to quote it. I don't want to mattify it. And if you need to understand what Jesus' life was, read Luke, because it goes through, Jesus at the temple. First he was presented at the temple and circumcised. Matt talked about that last week, I believe. Then the boy Jesus at the temple, and it's chapter 2, and it starts in verse 41. And I'm just going to read it. We got a little bit of time. Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. And I know we laugh and think, well, how'd that happen? Well, listen, if you ever need stories, send your kids somewhere with their grandparents. Because I'm pretty sure Shelby got left in a gas station in North Carolina when she was about 7 years old. And Lindsay was sitting in the car and didn't say anything. I don't understand it. I don't know why I ever let my in-laws take my kids anywhere. But thinking the boy was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for them. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw them, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." I love the response. Well, I probably wouldn't have loved it if I was Mary and Joseph. I'd have been like, "You smart aleck boy, get over here. Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be here in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, the one thing I want you to realize, what did Mary do? I think we've heard this before, haven't we? It says Mary treasured up everything in her heart. What did Mary do when the shepherds and everybody came when Jesus was born? Mary stored all those treasures in her heart. So we learn more and more about Mary, and that girl was just pretty amazing. Right? Pretty amazing. Let's get back to Jesus. He's the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. He loves you. He's going to shepherd you. He's going to keep you free from harm. He wants you to be with him when he retakes his life. Because he's going to come again. He's going to come again. And when he does, it's going to be glorious. I can't even imagine what that's going to look like, but it's going to be cool. But what I want you to take from today is that shepherd, even though we may grow into adulting Christians, or we may grow into adulting non-Christians too, that shepherd is still watching over us. Much like Skylar's dad, much like me, much like any parent, even when they reach an age of maturity and you know you've done your job, you still shepherd. Now magnify that times 3 trillion, and that's what Jesus does for you. He's going to shepherd us till the end of days. We take our spot with him in heaven forever. Praise Band's going to be here. Praise Team's going to be here. We're going to do a song of invitation. And, you know, guys, if this is the first time you're hearing about the shepherd, the good shepherd, if this is the first time you're hearing about that relationship he wants with you, we'd love to talk with you. If you need prayer for anything, if you...